There should be a song in our heart at all times. Hallelujah. A heart that is enriched with songs is a heart that understands what the Father has done. Glory to God. Matthew 28. I'm going to read from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power there is the word authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, in other texts, you will see, it will tell them, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. So the same instruction that it says here in Matthew 20 when it says go and teach, the same instruction, go and preach. So in other words, there is a message of the supernatural. There's a message of the kingdom of heaven that has come into the earth that they were meant to communicate. So notice again, it says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what make disciples of all nations. Make them students of this reality. That's what it means. Then in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. And it says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Look at Luke's gospel. Now we have what we call the synoptic gospels, which communicate the same message using different phrases and language. But they are saying the same thing. That's Matthew's gospel. I'm going to read from verse 49, Luke 24, verse 49. So let's look at Luke's rendering of the same account. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. Luke says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. So you can read verse 49 this way. Behold, that is look or see. That is, pay attention. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So the promise of the Father is power from on high. Can you see that? The promise of the Father is power from on high. Now Jesus said, behold, I send. But the question is, how will he send? He says, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued. Now, by the time you go on to Acts chapter 2, interestingly, Luke, who is the writer of Acts, is also the writer of the book of Luke. Luke would write to us of the account of the early church on the day of Pentecost. We'll begin to see certain workings where this instruction was fulfilled. What did Jesus say to them? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon. Why did he use that phrase? At the time he was speaking to them, Luke records in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus taught them for 40 days. So we know in Luke's account that during that season of teaching along the line, since the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, they got saved. If they got saved, then the Spirit of God came to reside inside them. The Spirit of God came to reside inside them. But notice what Jesus now says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon. Where was the promise of the Father? Inside them. That's the Holy Ghost. I send the promise of my Father upon. So Jesus calls you and I yielding to the Spirit his own activity. Let me say that again. Jesus calls you and I yielding to the Spirit his own personal activity. And as we go on, I will show you further proof, because again, we're looking at understanding the supernatural. He calls it his own activity. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued. The word endued means until you are clothed upon, until you sink into that reality. What will you be clothed with? Power from on high. So, one of the things we've been endeavoring to do is to demystify certain words that were used in the teachings of Jesus, in the teachings of the prophets, in the explanation of the epistles. One of those words, for instance, is this phrase, on high. If you read that in English, you will think about the vertical height. But it's talking about the spiritual reality. It's not talking about vertical eye. The word on eye simply speaks about a realm beyond the earth. Something superior to the natural. It's talking about the supernatural. So it was telling them, I will send the promise of my father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, clothed upon. That means the reality of the supernatural will settle upon you in such a way, people will notice, people will see it, and you become effective for ministry. That's what he's teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus many times will use certain phrases, certain words that you and I need to pay attention to. Why? Until those things dawn upon us, we will not be able to live in the fullness of the inheritance he purchased for us. Remember what he said again in Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. You don't use the word therefore if you've not made the previous statement. So go ye therefore will mean in the light of the fact that this is now a reality, I want you to go. Why should they go? If all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, that means you are the proof that I have that authority. So go now in the light of that authority which I now have and teach. That is, make disciples of all nations. That's what he said. What will you teach them? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I have commanded you. So there were things Jesus taught in the four Gospels. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 16 again. So we have looked at Matthew. We've looked at Luke. Let's go to John now. Chapter 16. And I read from verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. Now remember, this is an ongoing teaching of Jesus. The same audience in chapter 13, the same audience in chapter 14, the same audience in chapter 15, that same audience is in chapter 16. So this is an ongoing teaching. They were divided into chapters by the translators for the sake of reference, but it's a continuous teaching. He has been teaching the same thing from chapter 14, actually from chapter 13, really. But for the sake of ease of our study, we start from chapter 14. So when he said, I'll be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He's talking about an event, something that will happen. I have many things to say unto you. And that phrase, many things, means there is more to say than I've said to you thus far. I can't go any further because you don't have the capacity to receive, because I'm talking to you about spiritual realities. Hallelujah. Put your hand there again. Go to chapter 6 of John's Gospel. You know, it's Bible study plus prayer. So, if you're opening Bible, it's because that's what it is. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. So, the words I'm communicating to you represent spiritual realities. That's what Jesus is saying. The words I speak to you, they represent spiritual realities. So when I'm reading what Jesus taught, I must pay attention to the fact that he is speaking about spiritual realities. He's talking about spirit life. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he says to Jesus, Master, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born of the water, that is of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. What was Nicodemus' statement? No man can do these miracles except God be with him. But Jesus said, except a man be born. So in other words, the miracles are coming from this other realm that a man has to be born into for the man to operate that way. That's what Jesus was teaching. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. So the kingdom he's talking about is a supernatural kingdom. Hallelujah. He's teaching how to be aware of supernatural realities. In other words, that was the major issue that happened at the beginning. That was part of the chaos that took place in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. So part of the disorder and the chaos in Genesis 1 2 is the fact that the foundations of the earth were out of place. There was a particular order God had in mind. And through sin, man couldn't step into that particular order. So except a man be born from above, that's the word born again. Doesn't mean you are born a second time. It means to be born from that other realm, which that realm is on the earth. He cannot see the kingdom, so he cannot recognize spiritual realities. He cannot enter the kingdom. He cannot operate in those supernatural realities. But the realities are there. So Jesus came as the Adam to show us what God had in mind for that first Adam. How the man should live. I'm going to say something. Just put it somewhere. I pray I will be able to explain. The reason why Jesus walked on water was not because he didn't have tea fear. Amen. He didn't have money to pay for a boat. No. Walking on water is a demonstration of dominion over beings inside the water. You may not be aware, but more often than not, what they call weather disruptions, there are certain beings responsible for some of those things. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you have watched Sinbad before? Sinbad made it to my sermon tonight. Oh, Jesus. Sinbad of the Seven Seas. Now you see movies that depict storms, okay, cyclones and all those kind of things. That you really wonder, the winds, the storms that take place on the sea, they are beings in the water. They are beings above the water. They are beings above the firmament. They are all in the scriptures. Jesus walking on the water without stopping the storm in Mark chapter 4 was a statement that though the storm was raging, he wasn't afraid of those beings and what they could do. He's master of storms. Do you know, Jesus only stopped the storm for the sake of disciples. That means the storm was not big enough to stop him from walking. And the storm, as much as it's big, this is a storm that almost capsized the boat of disciples. But how come the storm could not capsize Jesus or stop him from walking or cause him to sink? That walk of Jesus was a demonstration of the authority that God gave to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so he was trained for them. The next encounter we had was of Jesus in the inner part of the ship after he had commanded, let us go to the other side. And the storm arose. That's the second story again. And they went to wake Jesus and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So there was a mindset they had. We're going to die. We're going to perish. That's what they were thinking. And Jesus was sleeping. How many of you have been on the boat before? Okay. How was the experience? How many of you felt seasick? Felt like throwing up? How many of you felt like that? How many of you felt like you just jump inside water? Or something will happen to the boat, you just fall inside. I'm feeling like that before. I think somebody said recently, I don't know whether it's on film, said that she's a female. She said she walked the length of the third mainland where the lagoon is. And that there was something that was whispering to her to just jump inside. The reality of spirits. So you see people just, they just walk there and they just jump inside. You think it's ordinary. A lot of people don't even know that when people commit suicide, there are spirits behind it. That keep telling, end everything, what are you doing here? And it's so irrational, it has to be supernatural. Somebody says, why? You said things are not working. Now that you are dead, are they not working? You get what I'm trying to say? So you say things are not working, so you want to end it all. Now that you are dead, as they're working. Spirits whisper to people. And if the people listen to them, they will take control of that person's mind until it becomes a compelling force. Do it, do it, do it now. I've had to deal with people who had such situations. They couldn't break the force of the voice I was speaking to them. And they felt compelled to act out every script, everything those spirits spoke. So sometimes, you're asking people to go for psychiatric evaluation when it's demonic operations. When they need a demon cast out. So when Jesus did that, he was exercising authority over, dominion over beings inside the sea. That's what he was doing. It wasn't just like, he just felt like doing a miracle. There was no audience. And the only audience was the disciples that were in the boats. So when he rose, the second miracle, when he was in the inner part of the ship and they woken up, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus came out, peace be still. They were afraid. What manner of man is this that even the sea and the storm obey him? Now, that statement also shows you how far removed man is from God's original ideal. The sea and the storm, listen carefully, it's not the sea and the storm. The sea and the storm are figures of speech for the beings who are behind the activity. They were the ones who heard that instruction. If you understand MCN, thank you. You make my job easier. Hallelujah. You make my job easier when you understand that. So Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that I speak to you, the flesh profits nothing, means I'm not talking to you about physical things. I'm speaking to you about spiritual realities. So when he said to them again in John chapter 16 verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you. He had already told them some things. He said, but you can't bear them now. I'll be it when he, the spirit of truth, is come. Today's language, we can say, I'll be it when you are born again. That's what it means for the spirit of truth to come. When you are born again, that same spirit will bring to you an understanding of the things I've said. Remember, as Jesus was telling them, after he rose from the dead, he taught for 40 days. So let me say it again. Let me look at this thing. When he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you into all truth. When did that Spirit of truth come? When he rose from the dead. So is it that Spirit that was teaching them for 40 days? Are you getting it now? Who was teaching them for 40 days? Jesus. How was he teaching them? Okay, put your hand there. Go to Acts chapter 1. It's like you don't believe me. Child, you're a pastor. It's Jesus. So it's Jesus. So it's Jesus. So which one is Spirit again? Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to what? Teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through who? How did he do it? Through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the disciples whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his resurrection. That word passion is the word resurrection, okay? After his passion, by many infallible proofs, that is, undeniable proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, or things pertaining to the supernatural. He was teaching. And in it, and for 40 days. So what Jesus said to them, I have many things to say unto you before I went to the cross, but you cannot bear them. How be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He was saying, when I rise from the dead by damn sin spirit, and I communicate those things unto you, you will understand them. Hallelujah. Is that clear now? Yes, yeah, so you will understand them. You understand them. Even now, understanding is spent 40 days. We don't know how long he taught each day. We know Jesus doesn't give short sermons. Yes. Someone says, Pastor, how do you know? Jesus taught people for 3 days and they didn't eat. And after 3 days, Jesus said, this will be hungry by now. We can't send them away empty, hungry like this. They will faint on the way. So Jesus knows people don't eat for a long time, they will faint. Jesus knows. So he told them, get them food. But Jesus taught for 3 days. You think they were doing praise and worship in between? No, there was no choir. They were in the wilderness. And they sat. And they attended the meeting. Of course, he will heal along the line, but then he just taught extensively. And it was for 3 days. So, somebody says why? Because it takes men time to understand the supernatural. John chapter 6 will now let us know that part of what he taught for those 3 days was when he said that, I'm the bread of life. Your father's ate manna in the wilderness, they are dead. But this is that manna that is from heaven. A man may eat and never die. Eh? We're looking at him. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Ha! After 3 days, about 20,000 people left his ministry. Only the 12 remain. And Jesus looked at them. We also go away. Peter said, it's too late. All our investment is in you. We have to wait now. We can't go anywhere again. It's too late. I've already thrown away the fishing equipment. So Jesus taught extensively. Why? It takes time for spiritual truth to dawn upon us. Hallelujah. So you see, I'm going back and forth because I really needed to get it, because something happens when the light of the truth of God's word dawns upon you. It changes your prayer life. It helps you acknowledge the authority you have and authority you need. Reverend Hankins said something very important. Reverend Hankins, he said the authority of the believer is not only important, it is necessary. It's not only important, it is necessary. If it was not necessary, Jesus wouldn't give it to us. Necessary. And a major part of Jesus' ministry was casting out devils. Why was he doing that? To show us we will need to face these conditions. We will need to face spirits that operate behind men. We will need to deal with the supernatural. That's what you must remember. So the miracles that Jesus did you notice? We have no record of anybody from Genesis to Malachi who cast out devils. What did Jesus say about operating supernatural? Let any man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter. To enter means to function from there. Let any man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom. So many times when Jesus was operating, he was seeing those demons. But to see the demons is one thing. To operate in the authority to cast them out of another matter. Not even Elijah did so. Nobody did. Why? Except when a man be born of water, that is of the spirit, he cannot enter or to function in the kingdom. So Jesus was saying that, except you are born from that realm, that is, the authority comes by birth, you cannot successfully cast out demons. You cannot control that realm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we are praying, as we study God's word, the more light comes, In the place of prayer is where we tend to exercise the authority we have gained by revelation. In the place of prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I've not forgotten where we are, so I'm going to go back. I'm just taking you through this so that you see where we're going. We have a long way. Because some of these things need to be thoroughly explained. We're supposed to pick up from where we left off yesterday, which we're going to, by the grace of God. Verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10. See what Paul said. Jesus through Paul. Finally, my brethren, or in conclusion, be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Now, so notice, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, the word wrestle actually means contact. Wrestling is contact sports. Now, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness are all spiritual forces. You can see them except by the gift of discerning of spirits. Yet Paul is saying we're in contact with them on a daily basis. That means they are here in a different world, but they are here. When he says in the heavenlies, he's not talking about height. He's talking about that unseen realm. And it's one that we understand. We wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay, so I said, the authority is not just necessary. It is what? It's not just available. It is what? Necessary. Now, that utterance is a confirmation. We prayed some things yesterday. We're going to pray some things today. And that means what we prayed yesterday, let me tell you the interpretation of that utterance. What we prayed yesterday, we will need what we said today. What we prayed yesterday will bring us in conflict with certain forces who do not want men to be free. And yet the assignment that we have as a body, as a church, is that we should set many free. So sometimes when you go out, as we normally go on evangelism, you will confront some of those beings. And when you do, they will come back later in the night and try to rattle your cage. So at that time, that's when you value what you know. That's when you value what you know. That the appearance, no matter how fearful it looks, you know these are the wiles of the devil. You put on the whole armor of God and you stand and you keep standing. Having stand therefore and use the name and dispel them. I have had a few encounters, which I'm not at liberty to say everything. But yes, sometimes they come like that. Because you've done something to their kingdom. You've scattered the device of the mighty so that they cannot perform the enterprise. So they'll come. And then they come in dream life. Let me say it again. A consciousness of your authority in the realm of the dream life. That's how you know the true state of your heart. Hallelujah. If you're afraid in your dream, you're afraid in real life. If you run in your dream, you run in real life. So your dream life is a reflection of your spiritual state. Because Paul just said that, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. It means the more you understand God's word and the authority has given you, and you pray, and revelation settles in your heart, when you have such supernatural encounters, you are standing in the authority of who you are in Christ to deal with those forces. You are not counting on fables and myths and tales. You know, Satan goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. Sometimes we forget that one of the ways he goes about is that he spreads lies. He spreads lies here and there. He does it through social media. He does it through fake experiences. That's why every single time people will come out of the awkward when they get saved, it is the most foolish thing for the authority of the church to place them on the pulpit. They know nothing about the kingdom of God. They just got saved. All that is in their mind is their exploits in the previous kingdom, which is not exploit, which is deception. I was under deceit. I was next in command. You are a human being. A human being is next in command to a demonic principality. What about their principalities? What's their position? So is he speaking the lie that they told him before? That's what he's saying. They don't go to believers class or membership class. They become celebrities overnight. So when the enemy attacks again, he takes them out. How many of them do you hear of again? How many of them have you heard of again? No foundation. They're not grounded. So when there's a counter attack, they are gone. What does the scriptures teach? Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord after 5 chapters. 5 chapters that you cannot finish in 5 years. He now says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, that is in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of what? Of God. Don't put on stories. Don't put on fables and the lies. And by the time they finish talking to the congregation, they have more faith in the devil's power than God's power. I call that a testimony. That's not a testimony. It's a testimony. That's the problem. Faith comes by hearing. So you begin to have faith in the devil's ability. It's called fear. And the Bible says perfect love. That is the revelation of what God has done in Christ. Does what? Cast out fear. So what he does is that he sends fear ahead. It's called the wiles of the devil. And he understands the human psyche. That when fear goes ahead, people will have responded to fear many times when there's no substance to it. In fact, their reaction gives substance to the fear. Their reaction that gives substance to the fear. How many of you are afraid of dogs? Okay. There are certain dogs, when you see them, it's almost healthy to be afraid. You know why I'm healthy to be afraid? When you see the head of the dog, you tell yourself, I have authority over the beast of the field. When you see that, say, you can enter, it's safe, eh? Try to find out. Is it changed? In a very meek voice. Is it changed? I say it's changed. How long is it changed? For your own safety. But I have run from dogs before. I cleared fence. I didn't even know the energy that took me over the fence. I just found myself on the other side without falling. But when I grew older, because there's something inside of me since I got saved, that eats fear with a passion. I just detest fear. I mean, I've sat in my car before in traffic, and an robber came to the side, robbing people one by one. And he came and opened the slot to show me the gun. And I looked at him and said, so what? He just walked away, that this one is not okay. It wasn't that I thought, why did I say, and so what? This is gone. But there's just something that just detests fear. Fear has torment. Fear has torment. So the same way also, I've confronted dogs before, and I stood, and there's just something inside dogs. Instinctively, the minute you run, they start chasing you. If you don't notice that about dogs. Actually, psychologists say that dogs can smell fear. That there's what you call pheromones that come out of human beings when people are afraid, that dogs can smell. It means your greatest defense against a dog is not to be afraid. The same thing works for wild animals. Now, those are like parables when it comes to demonic forces. Demonic forces can sense fear. They can also sense somebody who is bold, who knows my place and my standing. And you can't know it by guesswork. It has to be by revelation. It's not by, it has to be by revelation. I met a madman before that came towards me. And when he got to me, he knelt down. I didn't quickly come to my senses. I should have laid hands. Just looked at the madman, wondering, I just walked away. Why didn't he run? And the only thing that will keep your foot rooted and not run is for revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and what? Scorpions. And above all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. His words are never falling to the ground. Say nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Paul says, we wrest not against flesh and blood, and the principalities that he's talking about, they are here. He says, we're in contact with them. When we deal with people, we're in contact with them. People are not aware that those beings are operating around and through them, but you are aware because the scales have been lifted and through the authority of God, so you can see. Let me show you something. In Ephesians 1, verse 17, Paul prayed a prayer for you and I and for the church. It says that the eyes of your what? Understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his word. Call it. Now, where else in the Holy Scriptures do we find that kind of prayer made, illustration-wise? Where else? The Old Testament is types and shadows of the New. So it was done also in the Holy Scriptures in a particular incident. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and the servant. This one we'll read because you are used to Ephesians. So this one we'll read. 2 Kings. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God had risen early and gone for the old, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. Notice the first instruction, fear not. Now, again, let me say it this way. An host compassed them about, a physical army that has a spiritual backing. Don't forget. Let me say it again. A physical army that has what? A spiritual backing. In all those nations, there was idol worship. Idol worship means they will consult their gods before they go to war. So there will be beings behind them that will strengthen them, that will fight for them. So an host encompassed, and then look at what the guy said. It says, he answered, fear them not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with. Okay, did you see that phrase? I don't think you have heard that part before. who surrounded them and host the army of Syria, then Elijah said, there are those that be with that army. Did you understand? Do you think he's talking about their numbers? No. The enemy army that surrounded them, there are beings behind them. And Elijah is talking about those beings. He said, those that be with us, they are more than those that be with them. So there are beings with them, but there are also beings where? With us. And the ones that are with us are more. Hallelujah. They are more. Listen, the background of that story is this. The king of Syria always wondered, how come every time we make a war plan to confront the Israelites and to capture them, the plan will be discovered? So he began to question his generals. He said, will you not tell me who among you here is a spy for the king of Israel? They always knowing our plans. And the small child got up and said, oh, there's no spy here. There's a prophet in Israel. What you're applying in your bedchamber, he tells the king. He knows it. Who is a prophet? An interpreter of divine things. A messenger of the supernatural. That's what a prophet is. In the Hebrew, it's called Nabi. N-A-B-I-Y. Nabi is an interpreter of divine things. A messenger of the supernatural. That's what a prophet is. So the enemy army, the king said, oh, go and find out where he stays and go and capture him. If this man is knowing supernaturally what our plans will be, and he said, go and capture him, won't he know that one also? Okay, he didn't get that one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Won't he know that one also? He knows what you are discussing in your bedchamber. You now said they should go and capture him. So why did Elisha stay there? He knew they were coming. Come. But then they showed that now. He's no longer king against king. He's kingdom against kingdom. Okay, did you get that part now? He stayed where he was, in Dothan. He said he's in Dothan. You think Elisha did not know? So when the army came, since this man functioned by the supernatural, the army also came with the help of the supernatural. They consulted their gods. So when he came, the natural response, if your eyes are not open, you should be afraid. So Elijah told the servants, fear not. They that be with us, they are not coming. They are already here with us. They are more than they that be with them. And then Elisha prayed. Of course, you know that you speak that word of exhortation. Person that you are Okay, let me ask a question. Because sometimes it's good to appeal to logic. Does it make sense for an army to come and arrest one man? They just sent a squad. Four people again, go and bring him. An army came to arrest one man. Don't you know they know that he's not an ordinary man? That's the only reason he sent an army to go and arrest one man. An army came as though they are going to fight war. Go and arrest the man. So after he spoke to the servant, Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And I pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus that the season that we are in, you will see the forces arrayed by God for your good. You will see angelic powers that God has sent to protect you, to open doors for you, to cause opportunities to abound towards you. You will see what the Father is doing behind the scenes. You will see his love in the scriptures like never before. You will know it's impossible for you to fail this season. You know this year is still your year according to heaven's agenda. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. What will he see? What Elisha said. What Elisha said? There are more with us. Listen carefully. That means that there are more with you is not what determines the outcome of the battle. No, no. It's whether you are fearful or you are bold that determines. And you can't fake it to make it. You know, maybe I fake it. Fake it. You cannot fake it to make it. Listen. One of the greatest territorial commanders we ever had in the history of Africa is late Archbishop Idahosa. I call him a territorial commander. He was not set over Nigeria alone. He was set over territories. He went to nations. And on a trip one day, his entourage was waylaid by armed robbers. And he came out of the car. Heavily armed people. He came out. I looked at all of them. I said, what are you people doing here? Yeah, bring your gun. In conversation. Bring your gun. And he started submitting the gun. Told the boys, drive them, let us go to church. We are giving your life to Christ today. And they did. You know the same way you see, have you watched those African films where they will use something to speak to you? You drop your weapon. And there's something greater. It's the authority of heaven. Power pass power. Power pass power. He said, bring your gun. And he said, bring your gun. And they submitted the guns and everything. He said, come here, follow me to church. And some of those people being part of the protocol, security. He said, submit your gun. Now the same man, one day, Amor asked him to his house. And God said, take the back door and go. Now imagine, just there, you want to fake it to make it. That's the end. Why? Spiritual forces recognize boldness is a force in the spirit. And fear is also a force in the spirit. How do you know Elisha was bold? Number one, he stayed until the army came, so he knew they were coming. Number two, he prayed, Father, open his eyes that he may see. Why did he pray that prayer? So that the servant would not be afraid. Because that would be a loophole for the enemy. How do you know Elijah was bold? After he prayed that prayer, he stepped forward to the army that was looking for him. I'm the one you're looking for. You know what he told them? He said, this is not the place, so you come to the wrong place. Let me take you to where the man you're looking for is. And Bible says that when he was speaking to them, their eyes were blinded. They didn't know them. And he took them to the midst of the city. Then their eyes were now open when they were inside the camp of their enemies. So they were arrested supernaturally. Some years ago, this was, how many years ago now? I think I saw the title of that book by God's servant, Pastor Yadeboye, Arresting the Arrester. That was the main text he used. I never forgot that title. How many years ago? Arresting the Arrester. People that, all these old people, you know. That was the theme. That was actually the text. I think it was one of those Holy Ghost meetings that he taught that series and then. So the issue is that, notice, Father, open his eyes that he may see. That makes the difference between fear and boldness. If you can see, you'll be bold. You will know there's nothing to fear. And Satan is also counting on what you will see to bring fear. That's what he's counting on. Paul calls it the wiles of the devil. Calls it the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. So can you see why there's so much emphasis in the scriptures that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the eyes of your mind, the amygdala will be there. A supernatural boldness will arise within you. There will be a new consciousness. The scriptures will not be mere words to you. They will be spirit and they will be life when it comes to practice. Hallelujah. So, where are we now? Hallelujah. Look at the time. Oh, Jesus. How did we get here? How did we get to 2 Kings? Where were we before we got to 2 Kings? Sorry? Ephesians. So, we wrestle. We're in contact what? Sports, isn't it? Contact sports. Now, look at Luke chapter 10. That means what we saw yesterday, we pick up tomorrow because I don't think we can get back there again today now. Look at the time. Are you in Luke? Luke chapter 10. Glory to Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 17. Or let me read from verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed other 70 also and set them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truth is good, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among, were they lambs? Okay. Where were they meant to go? Focus on the figure of speech. Where were they meant to go? They were meant to go and preach. So are they going to preach into people? Okay, so when you are going to preach people, I send you as lamb among wolves. Who are the wolves he's talking about? Who are the wolves talking about? It's spiritual beings now. It's spiritual beings. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So you are going to come in contact with wolves. Now see what it says. It says, coming in that person, nor skip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way, and to whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house, and the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house will remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and in whatever city you enter, when they receive you, eat such things that they have set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is what? So, what is the kingdom of God again? The supernatural. The supernatural is come. Who will announce supernatural? A man that is a natural being will announce supernatural. How will they announce? As a message, which is called the gospel. So, what are you meant to go and announce? The kingdom of God. The arena of God's dominion. Go and announce it. And when you're announcing it, heal the sick that are hearing. It didn't say present, heal them. To show that the kingdom you're announcing, this is the effect of that kingdom. Heal the sick that are hearing. Heal the sick to show what you're announcing. Okay? So, go with me all the way to verse 17 now. See what it says. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are what? Subject unto us through thy name. What did he tell them when they were going? Did he mention devil? No. But how did he say devil? I send you as sheep among wolves. Who are the wolves? As a devil and his activities. So when they came out, what did he say? Even the devil. So when they were preaching the gospel and trying to heal the sick, they encountered demons who were primarily responsible for the physical sickness that men could see in their bodies. So people will see a physical sickness, but those sicknesses were being enforced by demonic entities. They were being enforced by demonic entities. Put your hand there. Acts chapter 10. We're looking at understanding supernatural, isn't it? So we're just starting, so just follow. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed of who? So when I see sickness, most of it will be physical in sight. But who is behind that physical sickness? demonic oppression. There's something that is called demonic oppression. That is Satan is behind. Now, put your hand there. Look at Acts chapter 19 also. I'm trying to prove to you what Paul said, that we wrestle not against flesh and what? Blood. So, somebody said, the minute you see demonic activity and you think it's natural activity, you're already falling for the wiles of the devil. Let me say it again. The minute you see demonic activity and you think it's natural activity, you are falling for the wiles of the devil. You're already falling for it. You're falling for it already. A couple called me just some months ago. Said they were taking their child to the hospital. Child was hot all through the night. And they just wanted to let me know that they were taking child, that the child was behaving erratically, that the child has never done that before, just crying uncontrollably. The body was hot and everything, and they didn't know what to do. They said they were carrying the child to the hospital. Said they just wanted to let me know. I said, let me pray for the child. When I opened my mouth to pray, I found I rebuked the spirit that was behind it. I found myself rebuking the spirit. So in the name of Jesus, stop your appearance, this is my words, right now, in the name of Jesus. I forgot about the situation. So they called me later in the day. So I thought they were going to give me feedback about the hospital. So I said, sir, we didn't go again. No. The child just stopped crying after you prayed. And temperature, everything just left. We didn't go again. Say on the phone, after the child just became well. All the crying, everything just stopped. The body became normal. Why? We rest not against flesh and blood. That means you want to use Panadol for a demonic oppression. The child is behaving erratically, very unlike how the child does normally. That's the spirit behind it. And he gave us authority. Hallelujah. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. When they didn't have the keys, they had authority, delegated authority. They came to Jesus. Even the devils are subject to us in your name or in your authority. They are subject to us. Since you appointed us and you told us to go, that word go was enough. Everywhere we went, as we tried to heal the sick, when we were preaching the gospel, what were we saying? The kingdom of God is near. It's near. Not that it has come. It's near. And demons were checking out. Hallelujah. Which is proof that the kingdom is real. They're checking out. Acts chapter 19, verse 9. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia had the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the word saturated, the word penetrated, the word was preached all over Asia. News traveled a 2 year period. And while that was going on, to show the dominion that the word had over the hearts of men, look at what happened to them. And God wrought what? Special miracles by the hands of who? Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick what? Handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and what? The evil spirits did what? Went out of them. So there were many medical conditions that were being enforced by evil spirits. It wasn't biology. It was demonic activity. So when Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, because you are not wrestling with flesh and blood. I'm going to get down. We're going to read that Ephesians 6 again. But we're going to go all the way down for us to see. When you put it on, when you are wrestling, what do you do in wrestling, in contending? When he says, having done all to stand, therefore, how do you stand? The answer is in that passage also. But notice, be strong in the Lord. That is in the power of his might. That is, the force of what he has done is enough. It's more than enough. The exceeding greatness of his power, that's the power of his might, is more than enough. Having stripped principalities and powers, he made an open show of them. That text, I pray I'll be able to explain to us more. That's Colossians 2. When this, he made an open show of them, the pronouns are mixed up a little bit. Having spoiled principalities and powers, the word spoiled means to take away from a being what that being trusts in. I hope you know the word spoil. You know, the word spoil depends on the context, means different things. When you say we carried away the spoils, if you went to war, you defeated the enemy, you took away all that the enemy has. It's called spoils of war, isn't it? Then having spoiled also means to rob, to take from someone the person's armory, what the person trusts in. So having spoiled principalities and powers, and he was talking about his death, was how he spoiled. It means to disarm his minds and powers. Then he says he made an open show. Open show then is not talking about those principalities. Let me explain again. Open show means that when he spoiled, or how did he spoil them? Let me say it this way. If you take away from a being the armor of that being, that means the armor is how that being operating. That being exercises authority through that armor, isn't it? Now, so who were those beings exercising authority over? Men. How did Jesus disarm those beings? By offering forgiveness of sins sacrifice. So if there's forgiveness of sins, the authority of sin that rude man is taking from the beings that rude man, yes or no? How many of you understand? Yes, yes, yes. So how did he paralyze? What's permission to paralyze? To render ineffective principalities and powers. Then he made an open show, means that men who are freed, men who are delivered, men who are translated, Jesus put them on display as proof that those beings are defeated. If you understand, I'm saying, thank you. As you are seated here today, you are Jesus' proof that Satan has been defeated. He made an open show. You are the God's open show that Satan has been spoiled, that his works have been destroyed. Now, you are the open show. You are running away from my water. But what I said, ah. Now, do you know, is mommy water, there's more fiction about it than reality. It's what people have said about the being. Are there beings like that? Oh, yes. It's not fiction. And as God will show us, that right from Genesis, the Bible speaks about three realms above the waters. That is the firmament on land. And beneath the earth or inside the waters. Three spheres of authority. There are beings above. There are beings on earth. There are beings what under the earth or inside the waters. So yes, there's a marine kingdom, right? We don't speak loud about it, but it exists. Amen. You know, I'm taking it from Bible now so that you'll not be afraid. Because somebody asked me, eh? Marine kingdom. No, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. You just need to understand that Philippians 2 verse 9 says that, and God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Of beings where? On earth. And of beings under what? So there are beings under the earth. It's God that created them. But a number of them are in rebellion. They're in Satan's rebellion. So the name of Jesus covers the three realms. And you are the living proof of that name. Hallelujah. You are the living proof of that name. You see, when the consciousness settles upon you, if you enter by divine leading now, an Abel's shrine, all the works of darkness will be destroyed. They will not be able to perform when you're around. I think it was Pastor Trinity that was sharing something with us some years back. They said that in a public place like Kogilegba, some guys will be using sorcery to perform magic tricks. Then he and his friends will go there. They'll be watching what's happening. They'll go to one corner and speak in tongues. I'm buying this spirit and I say, yeah, come and do it again. I know a young man. His father was heavily steeped into jazz. The kind of jazz where, and those are demons that do those things. If you cut his hand with a knife, blood won't come out. The flesh won't cut. And he should use it, you know, that was his fortification. Ifunpa, things like that. He would literally do a demonstration, cut it, blood will not come out. When his son got born again, he even became a preacher. Somebody has seen Jesus. He went in authority. When he argued one day, man was saying, man, you are a small boy, you don't know what's happening. He said, I know what's happening. You don't know what I'm saying. So let me show you something, said the court. They said, bring your hand, bring your hand, bring your hand. He tapped me and spoke to it. He caught blood, came out. Eh? The demon has gone. When there's a higher power. Hallelujah. When there's a higher power. Glory to God. I don't know. The Spirit of God seems to want us to understand some things this season. And even for me, the picture is just getting clearer. Everything's coming together. Because all we are asking for, there will be confrontation. If you remember the kind of prayer we prayed yesterday, there will be confrontation. There will be things that will happen. I don't know why we just automatically say, what is happening to me? You are in a battle. You are in spiritual warfare. And that's a sign that you are eating the enemy where it hurts. But what does the Bible say? Wherefore take on to you the whole armor of God. I'm able to stand against the battle of the enemy. Having done us stand, do what? Stand therefore. Having your loins get about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. Shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication. And watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you take the sword of Spirit praying. What are you doing? You are standing your ground. So he says, the word of God, revelation of what Christ has done, in the place of prayer, that's the sword of the Spirit. That is what silences every work of darkness, because you are taking the revelation of what God has done, which he now calls, in the place of prayer, the sword of the Spirit, which is silence, because what he has done stands as an eternal monument in the realm of the Spirit, both in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. It stands an eternal monument, and it will always work when the believer prays in the light of that reality. No being can resist what has been done. Are they defeated? Yes. But they are lawless beings. They will act like they are not until you enforce authority. So today on the earth, the church is an occupying army. Occupy till I come. What does occupying mean? The battle is won. You know NATO. So when the war has been won, they will lead people in the place where you have won the war to occupy as proof that what? War is over. Hallelujah. We are an occupying army. Hallelujah. There will be a few resistance and rebellions here and there. What do? We just squash it. That's what we just squash it. And when it came out to Jesus in that Luke chapter 10, and they said, even demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 10, he said, behold, I give unto you power to trample over serpents and what? Scorpions. Serpents and scorpions are a reference to demonic entities. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by what? Enemies or to. Paul takes it from there. Having done not to stand, stand therefore. How? Praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Let's stand to our feet tonight.